We have been in this series. You got a little snapshot of it in that video over the last 4 weeks called Into the Wilderness. And we've, you know, explored and examined the lives of men who have gone before Jesus. And today it all comes to this crowning moment in Jesus, as all things do. And so the wilderness journey that began in sin is finished in Christ. Amen. And Paul says that in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, he says this, that Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. And in verse 21, it goes on and it says, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the reality. We may begin in sin, we may begin in wilderness, but where it begins, Jesus finishes it on the cross, and through the resurrection, he walks out and offers you and I eternal life. And that's a powerful promise, and it's a wonderful thing. But here's the reality. Like we many of us know and we believe that Jesus, man, he had victory over sin and death. But just like the men who have gone before him, he still had to endure his own wilderness. And just like Adam and Abraham and Moses and David, they faced different wilderness seasons. Well, guess what? So did Jesus. And just like all of us, and I kicked this thing off at the beginning of the series, like we begin our story in the wilderness, and so does Jesus. And I just want to briefly kind of look at this because it's so key to... They're having fun over there, man. They were screaming last time, and they're screaming Hosanna, and I love it so much. Anyway, and so Jesus' beginning is the same as ours, and he enters in to this wilderness. It's the first thing that Jesus does. You ready for this? He steps out of heaven and steps into our world, right? Takes on flesh, becoming a baby. And just think about that, entering from the perfect place of heaven to come down to be here in the world as a baby. In his first waking wilderness moments, they're filled with so much difficulty. You know, he's born in a stable. He's placed in a feeding trough. He's born into like obscurity and financial insecurity. And if that's not enough, the king of the time is out to kill him. And so he has to flee. He has to run. He has to go to Egypt. And I'm looking at this going like, man, before Jesus's purpose can ever begin, the enemy attempts to deter him and distract him from what God has sent him to do. And we've learned through the last 4 weeks, and we've probably learned in our own lives, that the enemy does the same thing for you and I. But he gets away from that, and he grows up. And as Jesus enters into manhood, right, he's getting ready to step into his purpose, step into his mission. It's getting ready to set into motion. Do you know what happens before he enters into that? He's tempted. The enemy comes at him again. Matthew 4:1, it tells us that Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit and is tempted there by the devil. And once again, the enemy is trying to deter and distract. You know, as we enter into Jesus' wilderness journey in this moment, if you know the story, he faces three different temptations. And last week, if you were here, we talked about King David in the Old Testament and how he faced three similar temptations. And I talked in depth about those three things. I'm going to highlight them really quick, but not really talk about them. So these are the three temptations. Ready? It's self-provision over God's provision. We see this temptation of bread. The second thing is self-preservation over God's protection. Testing God's power. And then third and finally is self-advancement over God's plan. At the end of the day, this is tempting God's will, God's timing, everything, and you're trying to attempt to do things in your own time. And so Jesus experiences all these things. And I think while we could dive into those, I think the most important aspect of Jesus's wilderness journey is that he perfectly resisted the temptation to sin. And this is so key and this is so crucial. Now, there's this pattern that emerges that is true for Jesus. It's true for all those that have gone before him. It's true for us today. Long before we ever step into God's unique purpose or calling on our lives, the enemy will attempt to keep us from it. He doesn't want you to step into the identity and the purpose and the calling and the freedom that God has for you. So before you can even get there, he's going to come and try to derail you. And he'll do it in the same ways. You'll hear from God, and God will say something to you from his word, through his spirit, or through other people, and the enemy's going to come up and try to get you and tempt you to take shortcuts, to take the easy route, the path of least resistance. And then if that doesn't work, he'll tempt you to then take the glory for yourself, to worship created things over giving worship to the creator of all things. And third and finally, if those two don't work, he'll tempt you to question God's word and God's will, what God has said and what God is doing. He'll get you to question those things. And so that happens for us. That happened for, Adam and David and Moses and Abraham and all of them. And as Jesus is tempted in the same way, he answers the same every time. He answers with God's word, shuts him down, and he answers for God's will. This is what God's word says, and this is what I am been sent to do, and these are the two things that Jesus holds on to, proving to us that in his wilderness journey, and I'm not just talking about the 40 days in the wilderness, I'm talking about Jesus's entire life, he would follow the will in the word of God to perfection. Adam and Abraham and Moses and David, they're all tempted in similar ways, and we've spent time learning from them, their successes, right? And the ways that they overcame temptation, but also their failures. We can look back at these men and we can call them heroes of faith, but there is only one man who perfectly resisted all wilderness temptation, and his name is Jesus. And so you got to see this. This sets him up to become the perfect sacrifice for the sin that began our wilderness journey. This is why Jesus' wilderness season is so important. Again, because it just highlights something about Jesus and about Jesus alone. You ready for it? He is perfect and he is sinless. And so, Jesus' perfect resistance to temptation makes him the perfect sacrifice for our salvation. It's him and him alone. No one else and nothing else. Throughout our journey into the wilderness, I've shared the importance about being prepared as you enter out into the wilderness. We talked about Abraham and how he had things and he took things with him. And so it's like, if you're going to go on a journey into the wilderness, you're probably going to bring some things with you. If you remember a few weeks back, I had this bag, right? And inside the bag, I had a machete and an axe and a knife. And that's all you need, guys, right? Yeah, right. And I had a few other things, like a sleeping bag. And so we're going to bring the things, right, that'll help us along the way. And these things are helpful. But, I was going through that, and then someone had asked me, but, you forgot the food. And I'm like, you're right. Food is probably pretty important to bring some food along. Some of you are like, no, man. I'm going to go out there and kill what I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat it raw. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it. Or you're like, nah, I'll go out and I'll live off the land. I'm going to forage, and I'm going to find, some berries, or, maybe eat an acorn or two and see what happens, right? And so I was purposely leaving it because at the end of the day, yes, if you're going to go on a journey, if you're going to go on a trip, you should probably bring some food with you. And what we're going to see as I continue today, that we're going to look at this food that comes into the wilderness, and this food takes on the form and the shape of bread. And you can connect bread just about to every wilderness journey, because bread carries so much spiritual significance in the Bible. Go back to the book of Exodus. God rescues his people from Pharaoh, right, through the plagues, and then he's leading them through the wilderness to the promised land. And what's the first thing that God gives to them? Bread. He gives them bread. As a matter of fact, Exodus 16:4, I love this. It says, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And you're like, amen, hallelujah, bring it down.
Like, I want to get hit in the face with a piece of bread, you know? I'm going to try to get it. I don't want it to hit the ground before I eat it, you know? And so it's like, yes, I want, like, give us the bread from heaven. And so, you know, it's like they're going through the wilderness, and God goes, they're going to need food. I'm going to miraculously provide the food and the bread that they need to be sustained in the wilderness. Now, let's fast forward. Where we really begin to see these themes of bread take place is in Jesus' life in the New Testament. Do you know what Jesus refers to himself as in the New Testament? The bread of life. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32. It's recalling what God did in the Old Testament. And it says, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said, sir, give us this bread always. And he says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty. And it's this powerful statement, right? And so you have God providing bread from heaven in the wilderness as the Israelites make their way to the promised land. We get to the New Testament, and then God sends Jesus down to be our bread as we make our way through the wilderness towards the promised land of heaven one day. And you begin to see this connection of what God is doing. But that's not it. You look at Jesus's life and you go through and you look at some of his miracles. And one of the greatest ones, I would say, is this incredible miracle of involving the multiplication of bread. We probably all know this story. He takes 5 loaves of bread and multiplies them to feed over 5,000 people. And you see that Jesus is providing bread. And this is so cool. I was just kind of geeking out about this because it's our wilderness story. And in Matthew 14:15, the disciples are freaking out. All these people are coming. It's getting late. They're like, how are we going to feed these people? And they specifically say to him in verse 15, when evening came, the disciples approached and said, this place is a wilderness. Do you see the connection? You have all these people in the wilderness, and they're seeking hope, and they're seeking God. And what does God give them? Oh, he gives them bread. Miraculous bread. So we see all these moments, but let's go back. Jesus' first temptation in the wilderness, right? So he goes out into the wilderness. And he's fully God. He's fully man. And so the human side of him, guess what? He needs to eat, right? But he didn't go out into the wilderness asking for bread. He didn't go out into the wilderness needing that bread. He goes out fasting from it. And you know what the enemy tempts him with? The very first thing, the enemy approaches him and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And y'all, God showed me something right here. It's so key and so crucial. The enemy will come at you and try to give you a counterfeit bread or cause you to turn something into something that it's not. That would never be God's plan. That would never be what God wanted. And Jesus knew that. And so he comes at the bread. And I'm going like, dude, how is Satan going to tempt Jesus with bread? I thought he was cunning. I thought he was crafty. I thought he knew about, like, doesn't he know that Jesus is the bread of heaven? Jesus doesn't need bread. He gives bread. Jesus doesn't need bread. He is the bread of life. And I'm just like, silly Satan. Bread is from Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the reality. And you're tempting this man like you thought that was going to work you up. You're a fool, right? And so he moves past that. And so you see, like, Jesus is going, you have no idea what I'm about to do. I'm not going to fall for this silly game. I'm not going to fall or settle for some counterfeit bread when I am the bread. And the same is true for you and I. Don't fall for counterfeit bread. Don't try to turn something into bread that isn't bread. Seek the true bread. Seek Jesus. Now, that's not it, right? Because the story keeps going. And there's this one final crucial moment. We all know it. It's the Last Supper, right? And it's the night before the crucifixion. Jesus and disciples are sitting around the table, and they're sitting down for Passover meal. In Luke 22:19, it says, Jesus took bread, gave thanks. He broke it. And he gave it to them, and he said, this is my body. It's given for you. It's broken for you.
take this, eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And then you connect it back to John 6. Jesus makes this statement. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's saying, oh, my body will be broken. And that's what happened. Jesus' body was broken for you, for me, on the cross. And you want to know why? So that you and I wouldn't have to starve in the wilderness anymore, grasping at all these worldly things to try to fulfill us and satisfy us when they never can. Do you understand? There is nothing and no one in this world that is meant to satisfy you. Only Jesus can do that. Only the bread of life can be our perfect fulfillment. And here's why, because he entered into our world and he overcame it. He enters into the temptation of the wilderness and he resisted. He enters into the wilderness of death and he defeats it. Where Adam and Moses and Abraham and David failed, Jesus is victorious over all things, over the world, over sin, and over death. And here's what happens in our lives. Like, we end up wandering through the wilderness, and there's this temptation, just like Jesus faced, to feed ourselves, to protect ourselves, to promote ourselves. And as we try to do those things for ourselves, you know what happens? We end up living life in wanting. We never can. It's never enough. We're never enough.
Hallelujah.
We end up attempting to secure our own salvation. And here's what you got to understand. We will always fail at trying to be our own savior. Always. And if we try to make someone else our savior, guess what's going to happen? They will fail. Do you want to know why? Because We're sinful. You are sinful. I'm sinful. Everyone on this planet is sinful. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, guess what? We live in a fallen and broken world. There is only one who is sinless. There is only one who is perfect. His name is Jesus. And he entered our wilderness to take us out of it. And that is the good news. Listen, we don't need to try and save ourselves. All that is required of us is that we surrender ourselves to the one who can. You surrender your past. You surrender your pain. You surrender your failures, your shortcomings, your mistakes. You surrender your plans, your life, all of it to Jesus. And in that, what you got to recognize your sin. You got to recognize the role that you've played that landed you in the wilderness that you're in. And after you recognize it, all you got to do is repent of it and allow Jesus to redeem who you are, where you are, and what God is desiring to do in you. Through Jesus' resistance of temptation in the wilderness, this is what we see. We see a perfect and sinless life. And then we see that life go on to obedience, to death on the cross, a death that he didn't deserve, a death for us. And then he offers us the free gift of salvation through it. And that's the greatest thing about all of this. This is the good news. You ready for it? Jesus invites everyone to the table. He says, I am the bread of life, period. Not I'm the bread of life for this specific people group or for these people over here or only for people that do this. He says, I am the bread of life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, right? So that whoever may believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so Jesus, he offers the bread to you, his body to you. He offers it to everyone. And here's the beauty of it. Ready? It'll never run out. It'll never leave you unfulfilled. Oh, and the beauty of it too, is it'll never stop being offered to you. No matter what you do, no matter how you mess up, his love continues on and on and on. And so listen, in your life, in your wilderness, like you may be struggling with something. Like maybe you're struggling with insecurity. Maybe you feel like you're worthless. Maybe someone has told you that you're worthless. Maybe there's been too many failures, too many mistakes. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Come and eat. and let me show you who you really are. You may be struggling with addiction, going from one thing to the next hit, the next high, the next temporary escape from reality. But when it wears off, everything is the same. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Come and eat. Be full. Be satisfied. You may be struggling in your wilderness with sexual sin, infidelity, pornography, lust. And Jesus says, those things won't make you any more of a man. Those things will never fulfill you. Those things will never satisfy you. He says, I am the bread of life. Come and eat. You may be struggling with loss and hurt and pain or grief. You go, this wilderness season that I've been in, Pastor, it's gone on forever. And I just feel like there's no hope. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Come and eat. Find hope. Find healing. John 6:35, he says, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. No one who comes to me will ever be thirsty again. Listen, at the end of the day, these things that you struggle with or the things you look to for fulfillment or satisfaction, they will continue to leave you hungry because nothing you pursue, nothing you obtain, nothing that you put your identity in or try to put your identity in will ever satisfy. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There is only one bread of life that can satisfy. And so if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're broken, if you'd say, I am starving, the answer is Jesus, and it always has been, and it always will be. He says, come and eat. Jesus entered into our world. He entered into our wilderness. He entered into our sin to meet us where we're at, right where you're at. No matter what led you there, no matter what's kept you there, he says, I'm coming where you're at, and I'm not going to let you stay there. I've come to lead you out. Come and eat, come and taste what life really is. And you know, it's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to believe that. But I think it's something else entirely to truly surrender all that you are and then consume of who he is. Because you know what happens when you begin to consume of the living bread? He becomes a part of you. And all that he is begins to bring restoration to all the sin, to all the hurt, to all the pain, to all the ways in which you've sought out fulfillment and satisfaction. He begins to heal it. Today, I'm going to ask right now, as you sit there, if you just bow your heads, close your eyes, we're going to move to a time of just reflection. And really what I'm calling this is a come to the table moment. And so I just really, just for a moment, again, no looking around, no distractions, head bowed, eyes closed, just hear me right now. For those of you who have been lost and wandering in the wilderness, looking to the world to fill you, looking for some other person to satisfy you, and it has let you down time and time today, can I say to you right now, Jesus says, come and receive the bread of life. And so if you're here, and you've never fully surrendered yourself to Jesus, if you've never made a profession of faith in him, if you've never repented of the sin that has held you back, that you've been striving to find your own salvation in yourself or in others, today, right now, right where you're at, if you're ready to surrender all that you are, to consume all that Jesus is, I'm going to call you to the table. Come and grab a piece of bread. Let it be a symbol of the surrender of your life, your plans, your own self-salvation to say, I believe that Jesus is the bread of life and he's the only one that can ever satisfy me. Come grab some bread, take it with you back to your seat because I'm gonna keep inviting other people because there are others here who maybe that's not you, but you've tasted before, you heard, you believed, you surrendered, you consumed of Jesus, but something happened. And you set the bread down. And you stopped consuming of the bread of life. And you walked back into sin. and you walk back into the wilderness, back into the ways of the world, if that is you today, can I just tell you and remind you that the power and the promise of the bread is still available to you? Don't let shame or regret keep you from continuing to live in that life. If you find yourself wayward today, if something took place that caused you to stop consuming the bread of life, I invite you right now, come to the table. Grab a piece of bread, take it back with you to your seat as a symbol of your recommitment to live for Jesus again. Let it remind you of what Jesus did, of how he freed you, of how he saved you, of how he loves you, of how he's there for you, how he's not left you in the wilderness to be alone. He walks with you every step of the way. Come now. As people keep coming, here's the last group of people I want to talk to. For those of you who are in the room today, you say, man, I've tasted, I've consumed, and I'm loving it, and I want to stay hungry. But to be honest, Pastor Brent, I feel this strong pull. I feel the temptation of the enemy to return back to self-preservation, back to the protection of myself, back to self-advancement. But I don't want to go back into sin. If that's you today and you say, I want to come and I want to taste of the bread or recommit or say, I'm going to come up here so I can stay hungry, so I can stay consuming, so I can resist the temptation of the enemy. I'm going to take of the bread as a reminder of what Jesus resisted, and that same power resides in me. Come forward, grab the bread. And as people keep coming forward, for those who are lost and wondering, for those who are wayward, for those who are hungry, come, taste. There's only one who can satisfy. There's only one who can fill. There's only one who can redeem. There's only one who can restore your relationship with the Father, and it's Jesus. You can keep coming forward. I want to move into a time of prayer. As you get back to your seats, I want to ask you to join me in doing something. If you came forward, if you grabbed the bread for one reason or another, whether you were lost, you're wayward, or you're just saying, I want to stay hungry, I would say hold that bread up as a symbol of full surrender and the commitment that you're making to God in his church in recognition of how much he loved you and how he saved you from sin and death through Jesus' sacrifice. Father God, right now, we come before you, honest, open, and in need. God, you see every person in this room. You see the ones who are lost. You see the ones who are weary. You see the ones who are broken and starving, wandering in the wilderness, trying to fill themselves with things that were never meant to satisfy. God, today you've made it clear. You sent Jesus into our wilderness to meet us right where we are so that he could lead us out. Jesus, we thank you that where we failed, you succeeded. That where we give in, you resisted. Where we are weak, you are strong. You lived the life we could not live. You died the death that we deserved, and you rose again so that we could have it. So God, right now we respond. For those who are here and have never surrendered their life to you, God, I pray in this moment that they would confess their sin, that they would turn from their old life and place their faith fully in you. For those who have wandered, who tasted but walked away, God, draw them back right now. Remind them that your grace is still available, that your mercy never runs out, that the table is still set. Bring them back to the bread of life. For those who are hungry, God, I pray that you would continue to deepen their hunger for you, that it would never be enough. God, that they would continue to seek you, hunger for you, and chase after you, not the things of this world, but you, that they would continue to consume your word, that they would continue to walk in your spirit, that they continue to live their life in your will, in the calling that you've placed on it. God, we surrender all to you. Our past, our pain, our plans, our pride, our struggles, our questions, our brokenness. God, we lay it at your feet. And after we lay it at your feet, we take the bread in its place. And we're redeemed and we're restored. Jesus, we believe today that you are the bread of life. And we receive you. Fill us. Sustain us. Lead us out of the wilderness and into the life that you have called us to live. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.